Okay, so where we left off, we were talking about Hallel as a way of looking at it in the context of Sefer Tehillim as being this general rule that this was on Hallel, then Yomra. The Hallel that we say on Yom Tov, Hanukkah, at the Seder. The Gemara asks, where did that come from? The Nevi'im Shebeinehem Tiknu Lahen Yisrael, the original Nevi'im. This is going back. He said it was Hallel Mitzri because it came out of Mitzrayim. They said that Bnei Yisrael should say such a thing. Omrim Otobok on Kol Perak Uperak. They should say it at every period of time. While Kol Tzara B'Tzara Shalot Tavo Alehen, and all troubles that should not come upon them. And when they're redeemed from those troubles, Omrim Oto Agula. They should say it when they are redeemed. And reading it that way, it sounds like we should say Hallel. Not just after the salvation, thank you, God, for saving us, but beforehand as a kind of prayer. That we have faith that we will be saved, and we don't do that nowadays.
Danny, because this whole thing's in plural, does that mean you can only say Hallel and a Tzivor and a Minyan?
I think the answer is generally no. If you had a personal miraculous salvation of some kind, I think you're supposed to say Hallel for that.
Well, okay.
But ask your local Orthodox rabbi.
Okay.
Okay. It's a general rule. You should say Hallel, thank God. And again, the implication here is that there's this, whatever Perek or Perek means, and then we have, and called Saravit Sarah Shalot Tavol, and that part Tefillah, we should say Hallel. Like, thank you, God, for, because you will have saved us. And then afterwards, when we're saved, we're supposed to say it. But this is all a source, it's all in English, so it's a secondary source citing a bunch of other sources about the Gemara and Pesachim that talks about this. This is all from Pesachim. So I think the Rishon read this Gemara a little bit differently. I mean, what we do with Hallel, what is the Hallel that we say? And of course, the Brisker Rav, who cites the Rabbi, the Brisker Rav is Rav Soloveitchik's uncle. Nachman cites the Rabbeinu Yonah as a Rishon, explains that Perek here, a Kol Perek Uperek, every period, every chapter of life, as it were, first any set time during the year when there's a special enactment to recite Hallel, like on Yom Tov or Hanukkah. But the Tzara refers to the moment of salvation. Okay, he's reading this Gemara a little differently. Say that Kol Tzara V'Tzara is not talking about the actual, well, we're in trouble, but the moment of salvation, which the Jewish people should sing Hallel. Look at how do you get that out of the Gemara here. The source for the recitation of Hallel, the moment of salvation, can be found in the Bahag. It goes back to the one of the Gaonim, Bahal HaKadola, writes that part of the decree of Nevi'im was to say Hallel spontaneously whenever they as a group are saved from imminent peril. So he says here explicitly that it's when the people as a whole are saved. That's when you say Hallel at that moment. And the Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachot, this is a matter for Halacha, we'll talk about later, that the Jewish people want to sing spontaneous praises to Hashem in response to a miraculous delivery from danger. They need not recite the entire Hallel. Hallel is a concept, not a set piece, series of Tehillim. Even to say the blessing of our Hallel, they're permitted to say a few passages as they wish. They may even interrupt in the middle. In contrast, the Hallel of Perek, which we says the Perek is when it was said, okay, we're going to say this every Yontif. That must be cited in order with a blessing recited beforehand, and you have to say the whole Hallel there. So the Brisker Rav puts those together, explains the differences are based on a more fundamental disparity in underlying essence of the two types of Hallel. There's the Perek, which is an oblation of Kriya. It's ritual, it's prayer. We read the Hallel to remember the past. Goal is to rouse one's love for Hashem through the remembrance of a miracle which he performed at a certain time in the past. Contrast is the idea of Hallel of the Tzara, which is as a form of praise to Hashem, that's Shira. That we say when we ourselves are saved, especially immense love for Hashem, one feels a time of miraculous salvation, as he puts it. So they would read the Gemara as Hallel Zemi Amra. Where did Hallel come from? The answer is Nevi'im Shebeinehem Tiknu Lahem Yisrael. Nevi'im of the time made this takana that Bnei Yisrael should say Hallel Otoa Kol Perek Uperek at every historical period of time. When we remember the history, then we say Hallel. That's one kind. and Valkot Sarah Mitzara, and read this Shalot Tavo Aleihem as kind of interjection in there, like we would say Rahman al-Assad, God forbid. Any Tzara, God forbid, that should happen to us, and Shniga Alim, and we are redeemed, Omrim Rato, Al-Glota. So two kinds of Halal. One, when we're looking at history, that's ritual, that's with the bracha that you say the whole Halal all at once. And then in the immediate event of salvation, the spontaneous shira that we say, that is also a halal.
So Danny, could you say that Shirat Hayam was the second kind of halal because it was spontaneous giving for crossing the sea?
The implication for Gemara is that it was something different. And I'm not, you know, I want to get into the difference between a shira and a halal.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think those are something different. So the implication is that in addition, they said halal. And it wasn't just at Yom, they said it at Yitzhak and Shriam. The implication of the Gemara that there is this other idea of halal. And we'll see what halal is, thank God for saving us. I mean, rather, Shira is thank you, God, for saving us. Halal is a little bit different. And that's what we're going to go into now.
Okay.
You do say it on a salvation, but it's more than just the immediate thank you, God. That's more about the hoda'ah side of it. You know, as Yeshua is in halal, because I assume we all know it well, right? I'm going to pull out a sitter and look at it inside a relative, was quoted here. So just to go through that first parak, halal. Hallelujah. That's the introduction. Praise the Lord. Haluah de Hashem. Haluah Shem Hashem. O you servants of God. That's the apostrophe. That's the address. The Baal Tefillah, the psalmist, as it were, is telling the Abdu of the Hashem, you need to hallow, you need to praise, you need to praise the name of God. Yishem Hashem Barach Me'atavid Alam, may the name of God be praised from now and forever. From the rising of the sun until its setting, Molel Shem Hashem, God's name is praised. Ramal Kogayim Hashem, God is higher than all the nations, Allah Shemaim Kibodo, and his glory is over the heavens. Who is like our God, Amakvila Shavet, who sits on high. Hi, Susie.
Hi. I'm late.
Amashbili Lirot, but who lowers himself down to see Bashmaim Arts in the heavens and the earth. Mekimi Miafradal, who brings the poor out of the dirt. Miashpot Yerivion, and the destitute from the trash heap. Oshivi Ibn Divim settles him among the princes, Ibn Divi Amo, the prince of his people. Oshiva Karen Abayat, to settle the barren woman in her home. Ima Ibn Samecha, as a mother of children, the happiest mother of children. Hallelujah. Looking at those pieces, we know that, right? We've said that a million times. Again, the first part is kind of just the introduction. Who are we talking to? We have the psalmist speaking to the Abde Ovde Hashem. Halu Abde Hashem. We're praising the name of God. Just like we say, Heshmei Rabbam, God's name is great. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto, right? We're praising the name of God because we never speak of Hashem directly. We can't praise Hashem directly. We only talk about the Shem Hashem, these descriptions, models that I like to talk about, our primitive monkey brains. We can't handle the truth. So that's what we say in Ashrei. And I remember the English translation is from Rabbi Amos W. Miller, Beth Shalom. Would always like to read this in English, that Gadol Hashem Olam Od, great is the Lord and highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Hashem is great and needs to be praised. Mulam Od, but we can't understand Hashem's Gedula. Hashem is Gadol, but we can't understand it. So what do we do? From generation to generation, generation to generation. Historically, all we do is praise God's works, Gratach Yagido, and praise his power. That's the Shem Hashem, the description of it. So Shem Hashem is kind of our sum total of our understanding of what Hashem is, and it's all we can do, but it's what Hashem expects of us. The Chida has entry gematria in this, Halu Adei Hashem. Remez Halu Adei Hashem is Abdei's gematria ve'elokim. Can work it out, it's 70, 72, 76, 86. There we go. And him is 131, 36, 4686. Okay, the gematria works. Good. Same gematria. They're similar to that. So kavanatam, the idea is liyachdim akadosh baruch hu. The goal of an eved Hashem is to be one with God. To veikut. This could go adi Hashem shem anavim. That was humble in that sense. Hey, merkava l'shechina. And the goal of an eved Hashem is to be what we call the merkava of the shechina, to be the ones who carry the spirit of the divine in the world. That's who he's talking to. You have the Hashem, you want to carry the spirit of God into the world. Here's what you need to do. You need to praise the name of God.
Danny, that's so poetic, though. Merkava, isn't that chariot?
Right. So literally it's a chariot. No, so
it's a royal carriage for the Shekhinah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the image. They talk about the Avot Hema Merkava, that B'nai Yisrael surrounding the Mishkan are the Merkava. That's what the language Kabbalistically means, is that it's the carriage there. We're the one carrying the Shekhinah. More obvious, you know, more physically was the Aron, was the Kruvim on top of it. It's also called the Merkava.
Ah, yeah.
The image there that we're carrying the Shekhinah in the world. Right. So the next psukim, as Ibn Ezra says, starting from Yehi Shem Hashem Avorach Metavet Olam, Zodhi Yat. Sorry, keep this one with the. I'm talking to you, people. You're Avdei Hashem. What you need to make happen, right? You're Avdei Hashem. You're praising God. Good, but that's not enough, because Yehi Shem Hashem Avorach Metavet Olam. May God's name be praised from now on. And Mizrach Shem Avoro. Which shouldn't be read as from dawn to dusk, implying that we only praise God during the day, but really from east to west, the merit, referring to a thing by its parts, like ladies and gentlemen, day and night. East to west means the whole world. So God praise should fill time and space. And what that means for us is presumably we're the Avdei Hashem, but we need to spread it to the whole world, and not just the Jewish people, not just the Avdei Hashem, but the goal is to spread it out. That's why I call this essay evangelism, to spread the good news. Mavi puts it this way, since they, the Avdei Hashem, speak about God's greatness and God, and we're not just going to make general praises. He mizrach shemesh amavol mulol shem Hashem, because God's praise spreads from east to west. Hahilu kavar hitpashet, that this praise spreads to the world. Gam esel haakum, even among the non-Jews. Shegam hema halim, that they should also praise God. And Radak says similarly, v'chol b'neva adam, shemin mizrach aramara, that all people from east to west. Everyone should praise God. Even if they're worshiping idols. This is very ecumenical. That's fine, they can worship idols. But still, the goal is that God, everyone should acknowledge God as the ultimate power. The prime mover, as Aristotle puts it. The first reason. Siba Elyona. That's why it goes from east to west, the whole world of that. And that actually matters halachically, because we're not supposed to encourage avodah zarah, even among non-Jews. But generally nowadays, we don't have to worry about that, because no one's really obeyed avodah zarah. This is way the yesh makile. Those say it's fine to be partners with non-Jews in nowadays. You're not supposed to do that because they're going to swear by their gods and you're going to encourage it by the Sarah. This is a bad thing. But nowadays, you don't have to worry about it. Because non-Jews nowadays, they don't swear by idols. Even if they mention all their other gods, everyone really is a monotheist. We really are worshiping the same God. Jonathan Seth got in trouble for saying that in one of his books, but that's the Ramah's opinion. That even the Catholics, they have all the saints, it's still okay. Even the Hindus, they're all avatars of the same underlying deity. That the non-Jews, that They have other powers as well. But non-Jews don't have to worry about that. For you, it would be Avodah Zarah if you believe there are other powers besides the one. Hashem, for non-Jews, we have to worry about that. And that counts as Mulo from Hashem. God's praise spreads through the world. So, in summary, so that Hallel, the real Hallel, with a shir, spontaneous Hallel that we say, we're saying that it needs to be shared. And I think that's the difference between the shira of Az Yashir, which is all about us, as opposed to Hallel, which is, this is the great news, let's spread it to the whole world. It needs to be shared. We need to say it out loud. And so I'm going to go jump ahead to the end of this section. So we talk about Hallel has a section of Hallelujahs and a section of Hodu. But the last part is exactly what we say, that two little psukim right before Hodu L'Shem Ki Tov, it's Halu at Hashem Kol Goyim. Right, we started with Halu Avdei Hashem, very local. Now it's everyone. Praise God, all nations. Shabuchu Kol Amim. Again, all nations should praise Him. Ki Gavar L'Nechasto, because His Chesed is more powerful over us. Let's see what that means. Emet Hashem Olam, and God's truth is forever. Hallelujah. That's the conclusion. So we're going to go, beginning, Halu De Hashem, spread it out. To the end, that's what happens. Halu Hashem Kol Goyim. Why does Ki Gavar L'Nechasto, that Hashem's greatness, His kindness is great to us, why should that make the rest of the world praise God? Halu Hashem Kol Goyim. So this came from, he's got a nice series on Tanakh. He's got a couple of books out published by OU Press. And this says private communication because it was online at one point, and he promises it will be there. So he says that, well, it's still really talking to the Avdei Hashem, still talking to us. This is the way he puts it. Although the Zama stands in the Mikdash before the assemblage, he rhetorically addressed himself to the rest of the world, taking note of how kind Ribbono Shel Olam has been to his people, those who praise him. He adjures the rest of the world, so to speak, to join the praise for their own benefit. But you see how blessed we are. This is a result of our close relationship with Almighty. Then you too should act likewise. This is not honestly directed at the nations, but at Am Yisrael. The effect is that we should feel particularly blessed. And if the other rest of the nations ought to praise him, how much more should we do likewise? And we say, Hallelujah, Kol Goyim is what should happen, really is talking to us. But I don't think that's really the message here. Is what we as the Avdei Hashem are supposed to say. We should say that Hashem's Ches is so great. Hashem's Chesed is overwhelming us. So that we're obligated to sing as well. We're going to sing Hallel, and we want you to sing as well, because we can't keep it inside. Gavar L'Nechasto just overwhelms us. We need to spread it out to the world, and that will spread the Emet Hashem Le'olam, that God's truth with a capital T encompasses the whole world, the Olam, time and space, and again spreading Me'atavi at Olam. We said Mizrach Shemesh Amavol. So we need to.
Danny, even in the temple, they had a certain area for the Shivim, the 70 nations to bring their carbonate also.
Yes, right. We encourage that. And Hallel is the act of saying that to the world. Hallel is, God is great. I'm telling this to all of you. I'm going to share that. And that's what, you know, Halu Hashem Kol Goyim is the way we conclude that. And this point that, you know, we're shouting Hallel to the whole world. That has implications. Lock on this talk. This is going to get to the Leila Seder. Because we say Hallel at the Seder too. But we say it funny. Right? We do Magid. In the middle of Magid, we say two parakim of Hallel. We say the bracha that ends Magid. We eat. And then for those people who don't fall asleep, right, I mean, you're generally up after, right? You have the Afikoman, represents your Korban Pesach. We bench, and then we finish Hallel. And before we finish Hallel, we open the door and say, Shvoch Hamad Chalagoyim, pour out thy wrath upon the nations. And then we finish Hallel with a brach after Hallel. Very strange. So this all comes from Rabbi Eli Baruch Shulman, who's Rabbi Shulman's brother, is Rosh Yeshiva at YU. He has a Haggadah called Yisamach Av al Haggadah Shel Pesach, which I've looked at this idea before. I don't know when this was. It was probably like 3 years ago. We looked at Parak Tehillim about the history that Shvoch HaMatzah comes from. But I was quoting indirectly because I didn't have this Haggadah, but now it's available. If you want to see it online, it's... there we go. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, you break up a little
bit. Yeah, you may want to
do... I'm breaking up again.
Yeah.
I just got a warning about
it. Yeah.
Let me see if I can...
Not terrible, it's every once in a while.
Let me see if I can switch to phone audio. That worked last time. Five, 8, 5, 9, 2.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
Yeah, you should have to do that. It's going to get echoey, but make sure you're muted on the other line if you have to.
Yeah. Whoops. I didn't want to do that. I just hung myself up. Try again.
We can hear you okay.
I can try this. 301-715.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. Enter your participant ID followed by pound.
Otherwise,
are in the meeting now. There are 3 participants in the meeting. This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. You hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So now we're officially on the phone here. Still being recorded. Good. Okay. So this is looking at Leil Seder. And we know the Mishnah that we quote in the Haggadah, source 15, Behold, Dorva Dor Chayava Dam Nirora Smoki Iluhu Yatam Mitzrayim. Every generation you have to see yourself as leaving Egypt. Lefichach, therefore, and after Chayvim, Lodot La 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 slavery to freedom, v'nemra lefanav hallelujah, and we have to say hallel. That's exactly what it means. And we say hallel then as we are recreating, as we say magid, as we say, recreate this idea that we have left Egypt. And then the next Mishnah, ad hechan hu omer, how far do you have to say it? Tamay omrim ad ema b'nim smecha. You say the first paragraph of hallel, and that's it. That's Beit Shama. Hila omrim, to say ad chalamish l'man yomayim, that's the end of the second parak of Hallel. Say the first two parakim, and that's the way we hold, that's the way the Haggadah is written. Say 2 parakim there, and then we stop. And then we go on and start eating. Then it says, mazgul kosher shlishi, be'erach ha'mazon. No, you have your 3rd cup of wine, and bench, and then revi, the 4th cup of wine, gomer lo v'hallel. We finished saying Hallel. Remember, we started Hallel way back in Magid, eating our Korban Pesach, or our Tikkun, and now we finished Hallel. V'omar Allah Birchat Hashir, and we say the bracha on Hallel. That's the description of what we did. So why split Hallel? So, Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi talks, reconstructs his conversation with Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, who are just agreeing, where do you stop? Everyone agrees you stop. And this is verse 16. Amar lahem Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai tells the Hillel, "V'chi yatzu Yisrael Mitzrayim, Jehu Masir Yitzhak Mitzrayim." That, wait a minute, we're recreating this Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We're eating the Karban Pesach. So that whole experience we're supposed to have is before the actual Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We shouldn't say B'tate Yisrael Mitzrayim, that second parak. It's too early. We should say it after the Seder. If we're really trying to imagine ourselves back in time of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, B'tate Yisrael Mitzrayim, it's too early to say that. It's not right. So that's why I say we shouldn't say B'tate Yisrael Mitzrayim at this point, at the first part of the Seder. Amar lahem Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel answers back. That doesn't make sense. If we wait until the rooster crows, we wait until dawn. We haven't gotten to the point of the actual Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So that what are you doing if you're saying we have to be historically accurate and don't say Yitzhak Mitzrayim until the time that they left? Then we're not going to say it at all at the time of the Seder because they didn't leave at night. They left in the middle of the next day. They left again in the middle of the next day. We had our first Seder, right? Ate the Karban Pesach in our homes. Bacha B'chor happened. Pharaoh says, let them go at midnight. But we didn't actually leave, right? We didn't leave until we were good and ready to the next day. But Hill says, Elam came into Hitchabah Mitzvah. But since we're telling the whole story, Omer lo Marak Amor, we're going to finish the story when we say Magid. We're going to get through the parts about the Tate Yisrael Mitzrayim because it's all part of the same story. So Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel both agree that all you should say at the beginning of Magid is that one parak, the first one, the one we just quoted, Hallelujah, Hallelujah Hashem. Beit Hillel says that since we're telling the story of Mitzrayim, we'll add this next parak which talks about the Tate Yisrael Mitzrayim. You know, but even though we're going to stop in the middle, but before that, Tate Yisrael Mitzrayim, that parak really is part with that next parak as well. So why split it all? Why don't you say hallel? Might we have a hallel in front of us? Why do I stop and then answer afterwards? But Rabbi Shulman says, again, this is Eli Baruch Shulman, especially talking about the fact that we opened the door for Eliyahu before hallel. The hallel after benching, right? We open the door for the Kotel Eliyahu. What's that all about? Where does that come from? Everyone knows the Kotel welcoming Eliyahu into the house, but it never says that anywhere. Very unclear why we do that. Lots of the reasons are given. So he quotes an idea that connects it with what some of the Gemara says about the original, the real Seder. In Yerushalayim, the Karban Pesach in front of us.
Danny, what do you mean by the real Seder?
I mean one with the Karban Pesach.
Oh, okay.
We got a sheep. We're eating a sheep. We're not eating matzah at the end of the meal.
Yeah, okay.
The goal for a Seder is supposed to be we're reconstructing our Yitzhak Mitzrayim by being in Yerushalayim, bringing a Korban Pesach just like they did then, eating it in Yerushalayim. So what we do is a reconstruction of the reconstruction.
Okay.
So, Amar Rav. This is Rav discussing. Rav is well after the Korban. He wasn't bringing a Korban Pesach. He described what it was like in Yerushalayim. He said, Gagin va'aliyot lo nitkadshu. That rooftops and the porches were not set aside for eating your Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach had to be eaten inside your house. Yishu Beito, it's a very home-oriented mitzvah. He said that you didn't go outside on your roof. The Gemara asked, wait, is that right? Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Chiya, but we know from Rav in the name of Rabbi Chiya, the Rav himself says the following. He said, Kizeta Pischa Vahila Paka Agra. That they would have a kizayit of their Pesach and the halal would break the roofs. It would be so loud. My love, so what does that mean? The Achli B'igra V'Ari B'igra. Obviously, they're saying halal on the roof, right? They must have eaten their Karban Pesach on the roof. They're saying Hallel over their Korban Pesach. They must be outside eating their Korban Pesach. Nope. Say lo. That's not what it means. Achli ba'ara, they would eat it inside on the ground floor. Ba'amri ba'igra, and they would go up to the roof to be able to sing Hallel. Ini, and then the right way says, wait, is that right? That's now, you know, the general rule of in makirin achar pesach hafikomen, that we cannot generally interpret that we do not add after our Korban Pesach. We don't have dessert afterwards. That's the last thing we eat in the Korban Pesach. But Rav says makirin is from the Torah to separate. Rav says ya'aku mi'chabur la'chabur. You shouldn't go from one place to other to eat your Korban Pesach. Eat your Korban Pesach in one place. And so you can't, you know, you're eating a Korban Pesach inside, you're saying Hallel on your Korban Pesach, and what are they doing going on the roof? They said, Lo Kasha, Kam B'Shat Achila, that no, you eat your Korban Pesach inside, Kam Shlo B'Shat Achila, and then you can say Hallel outside. That's Gemara. This is where Rishon puts it. The Tam Ticha Tadelet, Barmir Shvokha Masnatam. So we open the door, and then we look out, and we say, pour out thy wrath upon the nations, before we say Hallel, the end of the meal. Here's the Sefer Devar Shmuel, Devar Na'a. He quotes another Sefer called Devar Shmuel, I don't know who that is. It's this wonderful idea. That's the Gemara, Kiyo Gemara, Mubar Sh'achar Gemara Kiyo Pesach, that after they ate their Korban Pesach, Hayu Olin L'Gagot, they would go up to the roof, the Gemara Hallel, B'Yachar. They would say Hallel together. Right, everyone go outside. Okay, Agra, that's the Igra, that the roofs would break. We call them Mulot Amiratam. So the image is that everyone eat their Korban Pesach and then go outside. Everyone in Yerushalayim be singing Hallel together. The breaking the roofs metaphor. For those who have a block of people of sukkahs in their backyards, most of seeing the murals together.
That's what I was thinking right.
We are number one.
That, yeah, right. Everybody hears everybody else's sukkah. Yep.
Yeah. So that's the model of what happened in Yerushalayim. You eat your Korban Pesach and you say Hallel outside. You shout out to the world and everyone would be singing Hallel together, or out of key, off tune at different times, but everyone have a good time.
Danny, okay. My first sukkah in Israel when I was a student in the one-year program. I went to my roommate's home in Kiryat Arba, and somehow they cleared off all the cars from the parking lot. It was like wall-to-wall sukkahs, and everybody was singing together after the meal. It was really nice.
Is that great? Yeah. So imagine that for Pesach also. That's the image of what a real Seder, as we said, is supposed to look like. Not our Seder. Our Seder. Okay, Nachshav, nowadays, Urchim Adelat Lalot L'Gag Yerushalayim. That's what we're doing. We open the door in order to go outside to sing Hallel on the roofs of Yerushalayim to sing the Shlom Hashira. We open the door and all I see is St. Louis. But we in Kan Yerushalayim el Galut, and then we see that we're still in Galut, and that's why we break out with this idea of Shapocha Makal Agayim, that this, you know, we're so into this that we feel that we need to rush out and say Hallel. But instead of seeing Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, what we're seeing is wherever we are. In Yerushalayim, we are just looking at the Dome of the Rock. We get this, Jojo, so we say four psukim about pour out thy wrath upon the nations. We pull it back together and we say Hallel anyway. That's right. That's Rabbi Shulman quoting this. Divrei Pi Chacham Chen. This is a great idea. And this is, I think that really makes sense of what we're doing here. And that's why we make it about Eliyahu, because that's going to be the harbinger of the Geula, that we should be able to open our doors, go out and sing Hallel with everybody else.
So it's about Jerusalem, not about Eastern Europe. I mean, it's interesting it's kind of taken on a different significance post the Holocaust.
Of
the Shvachamah. Yeah, that you're going to see if there's a baby on your doorstep to be a blood libel.
Right. That's one of the reasons that's been given. But the minhag is much older than that. Yeah. He's arguing the original minhag was the opening the doors to say Hallel. And the fact of Gullet is turned that into opening the doors and or other, you know, dealing with the non-Jews. That's loomed larger and larger. Understanding of this minhag.
Hillel Kival, who's a professor at WashU in Jewish history, he gave a talk about Shvacha Matcha, and he said that if you look through the history of the Haggadahs, that it was first found, you know, post-Middle Ages, you know, in Northern Europe, when there was a lot of, you know, anti-Semitism and, you know, blood libel and all that kind of stuff. And it sort of stuck through the traditions of Ashkenaz because of all the horrible things that happened to them. So.
Yeah, that's why it clearly doesn't fit in the Seder, right? Why do we even say that at all?
Yeah.
Like that, I think that's the idea that so opening the doors. And this is that our Seder isn't right. Real Seder, again, we open the doors, we shout Hallel from the rooftops, but there's a halachic catch, which is, as Rabbi Shimon puts it, Yidakein l'marsh, Mishun kach yilko Hallel. That's why we split Hallel up. The Ratzu l'kboa ikara Hallel, acha gemar achil Pesach. If you want to say Hallel after Yom Pesach, you come in Pesach, and then you go outside and say Hallel. Yishi yochlu l'omru b'yachar al dagot, so we can all sing it together outside. But you have to eat your korban pesach inside, in your home. So, we want to say it outside. Still, you have to, we say the beginning of Hallel back in Magid, talking about it, because it's got to be said while the korban pesach is in front of us. Or Mishnah, the Mishnah says, we should say Hallel while the Karban Pesach is in front of you, but you can't say Hallel outside if the Karban Pesach is in front of you. So Lachin Machilim Hallel Ba'od Karban Pesach Lefaneinu Lefanav. We start Hallel before we eat the Karban Pesach. Lehatpisoa Pesach, and then in order to join it together with our Karban Pesach. Akach Omri Matzav B'Sof Al Dago. And we finish it afterwards. And the reason why we can do that, because we said before, because it's not the Hallel of Kol Perek Perek, it's not ritual where we say it with a bracha beforehand, bracha afterwards as part of our tefillah. We're supposed to be speaking of it as Chayav Adam Lerod Asmon as I'm trying that this is we are the ones going out of Egypt, and we're saying Hallel because of our salvation. So we can say it in whatever pieces and however we want to do that, because it's supposed to be still as spontaneous, even though obviously it's very ritual. So we relive Magid, beat our Karban Pesach, we say Hallel Shira. We've been redeemed from Egypt, and we can't bottle it up inside. Instead, we have to rush outside to share it. Say Hallel Kogayim, everyone, sing Hallel. And that's the idea of Tizeta Pisa, the Halila Pika Agra, that beat Karban Pesach, and then Hallel breaks the roof. And it's a very nice sort of way of looking at what we're doing at the Seder at that point. So if you're in your Yerushalayim, feel free to go outside and actually sing Hallel.
Does anybody do that?
Yep. Go outside. I don't know. Go outside and sing Hallel?
Yeah, after the meal.
It sounds like the sort of thing that people would do.
I'm going to ask my cousin to go there.
Mirth Hashem, we'll be in Israel for Pesach, but won't be in Yerushalayim.
Let's do it. The less plan to do it anyway.
Let's go out there, yeah. We're going to go out in Carmiel. Of course, evidently, Davida's neighbors are not all Datiyim, and they gave her a little bit of a hard time building a sukkah in their common area. So we'll see if they like us waking them up at midnight singing Hallel. So, we have a couple of minutes left. And so that's the introduction and conclusion of the Hallel. Hallel to Hashem, and then Hallel Kol Goyim. We are supposed to praise God and spread that praise throughout the world, say it out loud, spread the good news. The rest of our parak Rama Kogoyim is what kind of praise? I'm not going to say actually what Hashem does, but we'll say what kind of praise it is. And basically, the Hallel is the famous song of Matul Kamzoil, Fiddler on the Roof. Right, the guy makes great miracles, but the most miraculous one of all is that a worthless form of clay, God has made a man today. God cares about little individual people. That's all powerful and knowing, and still pays attention to us. That's what it means. Ramon Kogayim Hashem. God is over all the nations, Al Shamayim over the heavens. Mi Hashem El Kena Mafila Shabbat. Who is like God, dwells on high, but still Mashpila the road, who comes down to care about what happens. Hashemayim of Arts, in the physical heavens and earth. Hashem answers our prayers. Mekim Mi Afradal brings us, brings the poor person out of the dirt. And Lo Shibi Nivim places him among the princes of his people. Moshiva Kerat Abayat and makes the barren one sit with the Ema Bismecha, sit happily with mother of children. Metaphors here for taking the low and bringing them up. That's what our praise is. And this idea comes up a lot. Amar Yochanan, Koma Kamshata Motze Gvorat Motze Gvorat Tosha Karish Baruchu Samotze Anvunoto. Where we see Hashem's greatness and power mentioned, we also see Hashem's, as it were, humility, that Hashem cares about the little people. That's they bring quotes from the Torah, from the Nevi'im, and from Ketuvim, and the example of the Torah is Hashem Okechem, Elokeihohim, the God over all possible powers, Adonai, Lord of all lords. And after, immediately, the next pasuk is Osem Mishpat Yatom Vamanas. Cares about the widow and the orphan. And we've quoted before that this last bit of Mekim Mi Afradal and Moshiva Kerabai is very similar to Shirat Chana. Right? You mentioned that, Janet.
Yeah.
Shirat Chana, after she has Shmuel, after she has a child, she sings this Shira. I had to memorize at some point in school, but I don't remember anymore. But the way she says it is, and you broke the bow of the Mayi, Mechshalim, Azuchayel, and those who had stumbled gained strength. Sevim, Balechim, Yiskaru, that those who are the rich, satisfied, need to hire themselves out to get bread. Revim, Chadelu, and those who are hungry are satisfied. Arakaraya Bashiva, so the barren one who has seven, Rabat Banim Semech, and Umlala, and the one who has many children will be sad, will be miserable. Again, her Shira is contrasting a wonderful thing. Hashem will make good things good for the low and bring the high down. Hashem mitu machaya, marid sha'ol v'yal. Hashem brings death and life, brings down to death and brings it back up. Another example of the idea of Tchiyat HaMetim in Tanakh. Hashem Marishu Mashir, Hashem makes poor and also makes rich, Mashpil Afloamem, to bring them down and back up. Mekim Me'afradal, that's the quote from Hallel. He said Hallel was older than David was. She's quoting Hallel here. Mekim Me'afradal, Yeshuot Mirim Yavion, brings the poor out of the dirt. Loshivit Nidivim, the Fei Kavod, Yad Chilem, and inherit the throne of glory. But Shir Chana is a little bit different. You know, because she's not just talking about how Hashem is bringing up the low, she's also talking about bringing the mighty down. The Song of Victory is much closer to Shirat Hayam than it is to Hallel. It's Moshiach Ketabayit, which she's quoting, but also Rabat Manim Amala, that the one who has many children will be brought down. We're not looking at Shir Chana here and the Nevu about Malchut there. It's a contrast to what we say in Hallel, because Hallel here really is just the celebration, not rejoicing because someone else is down. Rejoicing because Hashem has brought us up. That's what we're saying here. And then we'll deal with the details of that to take you through this rhyme the next time. And we'll stop here. And in Mirza Hashem, I will have something to say by next week because I don't have anything prepared whatsoever.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Yes. See you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. So next week we should be on.
Okay. I'm sorry I was late. I do my exercise before on the bike, but I watch a show and I got totally absorbed in it.
What show is this?
It's not a show I don't think you watch. It's called Wentworth. It's a women's prison, Australian women's prison show. But I need something that I can watch. It has 8 seasons, so I'm at the end of season 7, and it was very climactic. So sorry, I'm 15 minutes longer than I expected. Torah is more important, so that was definitely the Torah. I just wanted to ask. So you have, like, I guess your plans for Pesach. Like, if we plan to go, which we do, we haven't thought at all about Seder and stuff. I guess, is there a possibility of us joining you guys for Seder?
We have to talk to Susie. I assume meals are okay. The question is going to be housing. He's got a 3 bedrooms in our apartment.
And they probably don't. Guess is, you know, if there's like a Airbnb place we could get near them.
Yeah, so I assume that'll be theoretical possible. I believe she'll be fine with that. But again, it's as long as you can find a place to be.
Okay, well, it's for us, this is way earlier than we ever plan anything, so.
Okay, we were kind of worried. Sarah was worried. We haven't done this before, so we just got the tickets. We have gotten tickets there. And now we have to figure out, you know, what paperwork we need and all that.
Well, you should have, I mean, you know, because Tavita's there, you should be able to get in. Like, I mean, obviously, who knows what.
Yeah, I mean, so I have to figure that out. I'm assuming that it will be possible, but we have to actually assume and get all the paperwork together.
But it'll be different paperwork by the time. I mean, it's so long from now. Who knows what's going to be going on?
Right. So that was kind of Heidi's point, just dealing with all this bureaucracy back and forth, that the more paper, the better, if you're showing it off. So even if we have paperwork that was good 6 months prior, we'll just give them a stack that's, you know, high. And
all. Right.
We have an insure from here and insure from here, and we need to get an updated insure.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're hoping. I mean, the good news is they're still doing the full cancellation policies. I checked, at least LL said. As long as it's for travel, like you have to buy it before the end of January for travel before June or something. It's, you know, no fee to change or transfer. Because we had tickets for Sukkot. We got from Flyer Miles and we ended up using, I guess, about half of them to go to Hawaii. But we waited as long as we could and then gave up. All right. Well, again, this is like way earlier than we ever would plan. So we're not going to really plan, but... Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a little worried. I'm sure